Dennis Rodkin was on the Wintrust Business Lunch the other day. Dennis, was that yesterday that you were on with us?
It was.
Yeah. Such a compelling...
I know, time goes by fast.
Such a compelling conversation, I don't even remember when it was. And yet, and yet, I did ask you back because I thought there were just some very interesting things you were pointing to. So give us a few more minutes of your time, the real estate reporter. You read him in Crain's, Chicago. So you are saying that a lot of people are going to southern Wisconsin right now. They're exiting the city. We've been hearing that. And not just going to the suburbs, but literally buying second homes in Wisconsin. Is that right?
Yeah. There's also a lot of first home buying on the I-94 corridor just over the border where people will be able to commute straight back down to the employment centers here or north to Milwaukee when we're back to going to offices. But second home buying west of there in the Walworth County area around the lakes, the lakefront houses are the ones that are just being snapped up. And one of the interesting phenomena is that there's not much left on the shore of Geneva Lake, where Lake Geneva is, and Fontana, because it's built up, and if you have one, you're not likely to let go of it right now. So there's been a lot of pressure on the other lakes, the Lauderdale Lakes and places like that. There was a record-setting sale on Green Lake in the Lauderdale Lakes, a $3 million sale, and they haven't seen things like that. That was just in September. And this is largely because I want to have a house up there, and they're not letting go of them on the big lake, on the main lake that everybody wants, so I'll go to the next one over.
Well, it's not news that people in the Chicago area buy houses in those areas, but maybe it's the aggressiveness, the heat of that market, huh?
And a big uptick in the number of sales, a big step up in the number of sales, especially in the third quarter of the year. Now, we're seeing that everywhere. We're seeing, I think I said yesterday, in Barrington, Lake Forest, Frankfort down south, and many other sort of outer ring suburbs. There are a couple, McHenry in the town of McHenry in McHenry County, and others where sales are up dramatically. One thing I can't do is talk about how our sales are over the region right now. Orion was just reporting the national figure. Usually on the same day, we get the Chicago Metro and Illinois figures, but there's been a burp in the data and they're not releasing today. But I would imagine, I'm expecting that when we have that data, we're going to see that the Chicago area has also had a giant jump up in the number of sales. We saw one in the last data, which was for September, released in October, and now I'm waiting for that data released for October, now in November. But as I said, they're not releasing the local data that corresponds with the national stuff Orion was just talking about.
Yeah. I want you to talk about that mansion in the sky, the Princess Diana story. Her name appeared in one of your articles, Real Estate in Chicago. And I just want you to walk me through a little bit more about what's going on, because what if somebody, the cottage in Wisconsin's $300,000 or $200,000. How far do I got to go to get one of those? And if I've got $3 million to buy a house in Wisconsin, is that a weekend house? I mean, who are these people? In a minute, by the way, you want to join the conversation? 312-981-7200. This is WGN. We're talking to Dennis Rodkin. He writes about Real Estate at Chicago Crain's or Crain's Chicago. Just one last thing about that story you were telling us about people. Yeah, sure, they're going up to southeast Wisconsin. And you mentioned that some of the houses are pretty expensive, especially on Lake Geneva. But my idea of the Wisconsin house was always kind of a weekend home or a summer vacation home if you're lucky enough to afford it. But, Dennis, maybe you could if you had, I don't know, $300,000, $250,000. I mean, who are these people and what kind of homes are we talking about?
All price points. People with a lot of assets, high net worth individuals, have done really well in the stock market in the last few years and may be spending that money on homes. And if you don't have those kinds of assets, because interest rates are so low right now, we are seeing a lot of that's making it possible for renters to convert to buyers. It's making it possible for people to move up from a house that didn't work before COVID to a larger house that does. And it's also making it possible for people to buy second homes. interest rates are so low that if you've been dreaming of a house up there, and if you've been thinking, wow, that would really work during these pandemic shutdowns, it has become, for many people, much more affordable than it used to be.
So can I get a $200,000 Wisconsin house?
Absolutely. You wouldn't be on the shore of Geneva Lake. You might not be on the shore of the Lauderdale Lake, but you'd be within reach. You might get a condo in downtown Lake Geneva. You might get a house out in the country. Once you get off the shoreline of those really fantastic lakes, prices drop pretty far. And yeah, I think you could find something in that range. I haven't looked in the last couple of days, but you could certainly have a place in Wisconsin for that price.
James has a question for Dennis Rodkin. You're on WGN. James, what can we do for you?
What is your forecast for Southwest Michigan, like lakefront, coming up in the next year? On the Lake Michigan.
Well, right on the water, it's been going crazy over there. About a month ago, we did a story on that region where we found that there's been an enormous buying binge, both in Southwest Michigan and Northwest Indiana. Southwest Michigan and Northwest Indiana, the two pieces that connect there around the bottom of the lake. There's been so much buying that prices have been going up. And I would imagine they'll continue to, partly because, look, we're going into another shutdown, right? We're going into another period where people are going to be thinking, oh, I just really don't want to stay inside my house all the time. So if they have the ability, they may be going over there, getting something over there to stay in short-term, long-term, permanent. And so I would expect that there will continue to be pretty dramatic price increases over there, because it's a place where if you buy, you're very likely to have more outdoor space than if you're living in the city of Chicago, for example.
If you go a little further north, if instead of 90 minutes away, you're willing to go 3 hours away, the further you get from Chicago, the more affordable it gets, with some exceptions. I mean, there's some spectacular homes all up and down the lake, but you can see where the premium is. It's proximity to Chicago, right, Dennis?
Absolutely. But what's interesting is right now there's a program, if you go farther north to around like St. Joe and Benton Harbor, I wrote about this a couple weeks ago, there is an incentive for people. If you buy a home, I think it's for $200,000 or more, and you can verify that you are going to work remotely from an employer outside that area, for example, in Chicago, then you can get up to $15,000 in cash incentive, as well as memberships in country clubs and rideshare and workshare spaces, parking at the South Shore rail line to get back to the city if you need to, all of this for free if you can verify that you're becoming a permanent resident of that part of Michigan.
Yeah, you got to get a driver's license. You got to get a driver's license.
And they've had an enormous number of applicants. I'm about to get some new data today, but they've had hundreds of applicants, people saying, sure, I'll move to Michigan. I'll move. In that case, you're nearly maybe a little more than 2 hours from Chicago. But if you're working remotely back here in Chicago, you might only have to come in once or twice a week or a month in the future. You might as well be over there where you're near the lake, where housing is cheaper. We're scattering. People are really scattering.
Go ahead, James.
Do you think listings, you know, in the next month would be still attractive? And it's a condo, too.
Listing. Oh, so you've got a place, you want to sell it? Is that what you're saying, James?
Yeah, and we have beach, actual sand. You know, like all along the erosion.
In what town? What town are you in, James?
Coloma.
And
right, St. Joe, Benton Harbor.
Sure, I know where you are. What are you looking at? What are you thinking about listing it at?
I'd love to list it at 250, but I don't think the market's there yet.
Yeah. I guess we'd need to see the particulars, but
Joe, I don't know too much about Coloma other than, I mean, I know that, again, there's this incentive to pull people over that way, but I don't know what demand is over there in general. I really do focus on Chicago, but I would imagine, I mean, a condo on the beach in Michigan, who wouldn't?
Yeah, I'd give it a go. A friend of mine has a condo in New Buffalo Or was it that he let the condo go and he said, and it was on the water, and it was one of his great regrets in life? And especially now. Good luck to you, James. I appreciate the phone call. Bob, you're on WGN. Are you in Door County, Bob?
Hi.
Hey.
Yes, I live in, I used to live in Park Ridge, and I had a house in Park Ridge, and then I bought a house up here, and I live in Ephraim. Door County, I have to go 40 minutes to find the first fast food restaurant. We don't allow fast food restaurants. We don't allow chain hotels. It's all inns, restaurants. I'm 2 minutes away from the water. You want to spend $300,000, you can get a good place up here.
Yeah. What's the drive
it's
time?
It's a long ride.
Yeah.
It's a long ride. But,
yeah.
But I've had people up from Chicago, and they say, oh, for a weekend, and they say, oh, my God, I don't know why you do this. And by the end of the weekend, they say, Bob, I know exactly why you do it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Bob,
yeah, the other way
call.
To go is to do it midweek when there's less traffic, right? When you cross that bridge from Sturgeon Bay, then everything slows down on the weekend because it's basically a line of cars. So if you go up midweek, you're better off, right? It's a faster commute.
Bob, thanks for the phone call. I want Dennis to also just talk about the story that we alluded to in your last visit with us the other day, Dennis Rodkin, and that was about there's this, what was the sale of that Lakeshore Drive condo with like 8,000 square feet of parkland on the roof or something?
On the roof, yeah. It hasn't sold yet. It has just come on the market, or it was on the market privately at $24 million from July until this week, $24.5 million. Price came down to 17, and it's more publicly listed. It's at the top of a very fabulous co-op building built in the 20s. Wrigley's have lived there, and Marshall Fields have lived there, and other representatives of very high-end families. And a man named Michael Wilkie bought the top floor, which is really the top two floors, in 1975. So the building is a rectangle. This is just a U-shape, where three sides are living space, two stories high, and the fourth side is his front lawn up at about 20 stories above the lake. He's got hedges and lawn and a fountain. It looks like a lakefront yard, but he's up in the sky, and the space itself is done like a castle. It was built in the early 1930s to look like a castle. It's got 20-foot ceilings and gallery vaulted, a vaulted ceiling in the gallery style hallway and columns and huge stone fireplace. It really looks like a castle in the sky.
Yeah. And what's the Princess Diana story connected to that?
Well, that's why I think it's sort of interesting that he lives in a place that looks like a castle. 1996, the Princess of Wales, Diana, comes to Chicago. Many people remember that. And at one event, a man comes and dances with her, and it attracts international publicity. People magazine describes him as a bore. The British press is saying that he violated protocol. It's Michael Wilkie, the man who owns this condo, still owns this condo today. And he, at the time, he said, well, look, it may be a violation of British protocol, but I'm a bachelor. She's beautiful. We have a right to dance together. And he also said that he had sent her flowers. I don't know where she was staying when she was here, but he had sent flowers to her, I assume, hotel. And he goes to her security person at this event and says, I'm the man who sent her flowers. Ask her if she'll dance with me. And she sort of gives a nod. And then the later question is, was she nodding as if, oh, man, I don't have any choice here? Or was she nodding saying, sure, I'd like to dance with this guy? And it looked bad because of protocol. Because
was she married at the time?
She was married at the time, and he was a bachelor. And really, what a married British royal should be, female, should be dancing with a married man, not with a bachelor. This is how it looked at the time. So he's subjected to all this scorn, but he's saying, look, that's what they may think in Britain, but over here, I'm single, she's beautiful, that's all that matters.
I wonder if they'll include that in The Crown. I've been watching that show. And they're up to the Princess Di story now. So it's fascinating to just see that little tidbit pop up in your reporting. Dennis Rodkin writes about real estate. Okay, Dennis, I'll call you tomorrow, too. Come on with us again, okay?
I'll be here. Thanks, John.
I bet you, a reporter for Cranes.